Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now we're going to read a couple of verses, please, in John's Gospel. First of all, in John chapter 3. The verses at the end of the chapter. And we'll read at verse 35. John chapter 3 and verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, over to chapter 15, please. Or maybe we'll read a verse in chapter 14, verse 15. So it's the Lord Jesus who is speaking, and he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, chapter 15 and verse 22. "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had hid sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." And we look to the Lord for his help as we think about these scriptures. Now, I'm sure that we appreciate that love and hate are kind of at opposite extremes. And we have read this evening certain statements about that focus upon the Son of God himself. And so in John chapter 3, we have learned that the Son of God is loved. And in particular, in our verse, he is loved by the Father. But we've also read in John chapter 15 that when the Lord Jesus was here, men had the very opposite reaction to him. And there were those that hated him. And the scripture that is quoted by the Lord Jesus, "They hated me without a cause." And really, these are the dividing lines, if you like, that the gospel message brings to us, because the gospel message is fundamentally about our response to the Son of God. The Father, as we've prayed, has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus would go to the cross and die for sinners and rise again from the dead the third day. And the key question that we all have to face up to is, how do we respond to the Son of God? That is what we've read of in these scriptures. I want to just say a little bit, first of all, about John chapter 15. Because it wasn't that the men and women of his day were indifferent to him. It wasn't indifference. The Lord Jesus makes it clear that it was positive hatred towards him. And he explains to us why it was that they hated him. And it had to do with what he said and what he did. Now, you might say, well, did he not feed the sick? Did he not heal the sick? Did he not feed the multitude? Did he not raise the dead? Yes, he did all of that. But when he spoke words that cut across the way men and women lived. His words were righteous. His words were penetrating. And men and women reacted against him because of the words that he spoke. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life." They were life-giving words. But he had to say to those who opposed him, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Men in their wills were opposed to him. It was just like this. And John chapter 3 deals with this. It was when the Lord Jesus came into the world, it was like a light coming into the world. And you know what light does. It not only allows you to see your surroundings, but it kind of shows up the surroundings. It shows you what the surroundings are really like. And when the Lord Jesus came into the world and as the light, he showed men up for what they really were in the sight of God. They were sinners before God. They were not fit for the presence of God. And instead of men and women acknowledging that and repenting of it, they hated him. So they hated him for what he said. The Lord Jesus also makes it clear that they hated him for what he did. His works were righteous works, and they were unrighteous. And so by whether it is by their words or by their works, the Lord Jesus exposed men and women as sinners in the sight of God, in need of salvation. And yet, tragically, they hated him. That was the strength of their animosity towards him. They hated him. And the Lord Jesus is saying, look, they not only hated me, but they hated my Father also. Because I came to speak the words of my Father. I came to carry out the works of my Father. And yet, ultimately, this statement is spoken of in the Old Testament. They hated me. And yet, there was really no cause. There was no cause. And so we have to examine our hearts this afternoon, this evening, and examine what is my response to the Lord Jesus. And you might feel uncomfortable when you think about Christ, because he speaks about the need for salvation. He preached the need of repentance and faith. And that's uncomfortable for us because it shows us that we are not what we might like to be and not what maybe others think of us in the sight of God. We've fallen short. And the response of some was this: they hated me without a cause. That was seen at the cross. When you examine the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was an event that demonstrated, yes, that God was a God of love, that he provided a saviour, but it showed the hostility of men's hearts. When you look at and think about what men did to Christ, that crown of thorns, smiting him on the head with a rod, spitting upon him, pulling the very hair from his face. And the Lord Jesus knew exactly what he was coming to because he spoke about it prophetically in the Old Testament. He said, "I gave my back to the smiter and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And yet men reacted against him in that way. And they crucified him and they reviled him. They mocked him. They made sport of him. They hurled abuse at him. You see, they really hated him. And they hated God. Because man ultimately doesn't like to be told what to do. Man doesn't want the restraints that God will place on a man and a woman. And the people in that day, they hated Christ. But then we've read in John chapter 3, and what we need to also face up to is this astounding statement. And John chapter 3 tells us about the love of God for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a wonderful verse to hold on to know that we are valued by God, and God does not want us to perish. And he has provided, he has given his only begotten Son so that we don't perish if we believe in him. But at the end of John's Gospel, John is going to tell us about a fact of the Godhead. The Father loveth the Son. Now, many of us know from John's writings that God is love. We learn that in 1 John chapter 4. But that love is not some kind of abstract concept. It's love between persons. And it's a love that was seen and experienced eternally in the Godhead. The Father has always loved the Son. And yet we have men who hated the Son. How do you think God the Father regards that? The Son that he loves, the Son that he's loved eternally, and yet men hated him. That's not likely to bring divine pleasure, is it? But the Father has loved the Son, and he's given the Son a gift. Now, we often think in John chapter 3 of the gift that God gave to the world, but John 3 has another gift. And so God loved the world of men and women, and he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, in order that we might not perish but have everlasting life by faith in him. But we also need to understand that the Father has given his Son a gift. And you might say in John chapter 3, what is the gift that God has given to his Son? Well, it's just expressed in these terms: all things. I don't know whether you're concerned about the state of the world. Maybe you are anxious about the environment. Maybe you're anxious about the restless state of the nations that we see on every hand today. But I want to remind you, I want to tell you this afternoon, that the universe has a future. And it has a future in the hand of the Son of God. And so what God has, well, the way to think about it maybe is that this universe that we form a very tiny part of is like an inheritance. That's how the Bible speaks, in fact, in Hebrews chapter 1. He is, the Lord Jesus is the appointed heir of all things. And God has given this whole universe into his hand. Nothing can change that. Nothing is going to alter that. Nothing can thwart the purpose of God. He has given this whole universe into the hand of his Son. And really what the final two verses of John chapter 3 are saying is this. Look, if you want a future of blessing, you have to have the Son. If you want to know God's salvation, if you want to have a future that is not in condemnation and suffering, then the only person, the only way to have it is with the Son. Because the Father's given everything into his hands. And so the verse at the end of John's Gospel is this: he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And then the other side of that statement: he that believeth not the Son. And the idea is this: he that disobeyeth the Son, he that disbelieveth the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, God the Father loves his Son. There is no one dearer to the heart of the Father than the Son of God. And the Father is saying, I want to see your response to him. Are you going to be like the people the Lord Jesus spoke about in John 15? They hated me without a cause. Or are you going to embrace the Son of God? Are you going to believe in the Son of God? He that believeth in him. You notice this is individual. And so, yes, it is true that God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and so it doesn't matter where we're from or what status we have or what the condition of our life is, that doesn't matter in this question. But it's as an individual, he or she that believeth. And you say, well, in that case, well, I have faith. I believe this, I believe. No, no, he that believeth in the Son. And so it's all important in whom we put our confidence. It's all important who we place our trust in. It has to be the Son. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. You say, why is it important? Well, in the immediate context, because the future is in the hand of the Son. That's the answer in the immediate context. But if we take the whole of John's Gospel, it's in the Son because he is the one that died on the cross. He's the one that shed his blood to take away the sin of the world. He's the one that now is risen, that could stand in his in the presence of his disciples and in John 20 and show them his hand and his side. It's in him. He that believeth in the Son. I wonder, do you believe in him? Do you rest in him? Is he not sufficient? Is he not enough? Is it not enough to trust in one whom the Father loves and in whom the Father has committed the future of this universe? That's the choice that is presented to us in the verses in John chapter 1. And says the gospel writer, he, that individual that believeth on the Son, they have everlasting life. Now, you know, there are those who, there are religions and there are those who would tell us, you know, you can't be sure. You can't be sure about these things. You're just going to have to wait until the end of time or wait to some judgment to see how it's all going to turn out. You don't. In fact, if you wait, you're too late. This verse shows to us in clear categorical language that we can have assurance about the matter of salvation. He, that individual that believes on the Son, they have everlasting life, a life that will never end in the presence of God. You say, but believers die. They do, but they go to be with Christ. And the life they have received as a free gift from God is a life that will not end at death. There is a life beyond the grave. There is a life in the presence of God. And this scripture says it is everlasting. It's described elsewhere as being eternal life. And the Lord Jesus explained what that was. It was to know God and to know his Son. It is a life that brings us into a relationship with the Father and the Son. And it's on the basis of faith. He that believeth on the Son. Now here's the question. Why would you not believe God? Why would you not believe God? Now, that was the question, that was the fundamental question that Abraham was faced with in Genesis chapter 15. If you read that chapter, God made a promise to him. It was an extraordinary promise. By the way, at that time, Abraham had no children and he was an old man. And God took him out and he showed him all the stars and he said, that's the number of children you're going to have. And Abraham could have looked up and thought, never. Never. But he didn't. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You see, what God requires of us is to believe him, to take him at his word. But not only to believe him, but in this case, to believe in Christ, believe in who he is and what he has done. And such that place their confidence in the Son of God, they have everlasting life. But what is the other side of this coin, so to speak? He that believeth not, he that disbelieveth, it could be rendered, or he that disobeys the Son. And so you see that our future, our eternity, is hinges on a response to the Son of God. And those that disobey him shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God is angry. In the context, if we just take these three verses together, the Father has loved his Son. That's a constant of eternity. The Lord Jesus in John 17 said, speaking to his Father, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, before this world was. The Father loved him. And the Father has committed the universe into his hand. And those that have the Son will share in that. You say, I don't want it. I don't want the Son. Well, all that is left is the wrath of God. What a slight. What an affront to the God of heaven that you won't have his Son. That I wouldn't have his Son. But the possibility this evening is this, that we can put ourselves in the language of verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's beautifully simple, isn't it? It's not ambiguous. I might make it ambiguous, but the verse itself, the individual that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the unique, eternal Son of God, they have everlasting life. But what is equally emphatic and devastating is the second part of that statement. He that believeth not. It's not that they have to do something gross. It's not that they have to have lived their life in such an evil and irresponsible way. It's simply this, he that believeth not. Because, dear friend, the worst sin, if I could use that kind of language, the worst sin is the sin of unbelief. It's an affront to the integrity of God himself. God speaks, and he expects his creatures to believe him and to accept what he says. And for those that believe in the Son, they have life. But for those that disobey, God's anger is over them. The wrath of God abideth on him. Now, you can't be clearer than that, could we? This is not a message of ifs and buts and maybes. This is a message with crystal clarity. And so this afternoon we present to you the Son whom the Father loved, and yet that same Son was hated by men. And there are people in our town, and they would react to the Lord Jesus in exactly that way. But this afternoon we can fall in with the Father, and we can recognize that this is one whom the Father has loved and given to us. But we need to respond appropriately to him. We need to believe in him. And in believing in him, we have everlasting life. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.